It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. We're going to talk about the latest blue leaks. We call them bleaks. A little bit about Windows Phone 8 apps. What is this? They don't look Metro anymore. And Windows as a Service, all about Mahoro. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 310, recorded May 2nd, 2013. Billion Dollar Business Bingo. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/windows. And by ShareFile. Enhance your workflow. Send files of almost any size easily and securely with ShareFile from Citrix. Try ShareFile today for a 30-day free trial. Visit ShareFile.com, click the radio microphone, and enter Windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover everything going on up there in that beautiful little town called Redmond, Oregon. No, that's the other Redmond. Here he is. From Dedham, Massachusetts, Mr. Paul Thurrott, the editor-in-chief
from
of the...
Dedmond,
Massachusetts, editor-in-chief of the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. Also, Mary Jo Foley, editor-in-chief of allaboutmicrosoft.com. Hello, Mary Jo.
Hello, Leo.
Hello, Paul.
Hello, Leo.
Okay, then I'm not going to tell him about you. The radio station in Los Angeles was looking for a tech expert. They said, who's this Paul Thurrott guy? What do you think?
excuse me. Hello, Leo.
Hello, Leo. you call it the blue leak of the week. I just call it bleak week.
Bleak.
It's our bleak of the week. Any new clues, Mary Jo?
Yeah, a few clues. So
I feel like we launched right into this brutally.
Yeah, let's launch in brutally.
That was brutal. I just kind of launched right into it. Should I gently...
Lucky there were no rocks under the water, you know?
No, we're ready. We're ready.
We dove in head first on this one, and it was about this deep, so I'm worried. All right.
Yeah. You know. Okay, so one thing I got to say that's really interesting is we're getting a ton of leaks of Windows Blue. Like, they just keep... The builds keep leaking
leaked builds. Oh, that's interesting.
Suspiciously.
Oh.
A little suspiciously, yeah.
Does this one have boot to desktop?
No new desktop yet in this one. This is build 9385, I believe. And it's another one labeled as a partner build. It came out just over the past couple days. So there's not a ton new in it. I think Paul actually downloaded it, which I did not. And he's been kind of tinkering around. But there's a little
Did it put sunglasses on him? Is that what it did?
Those
are Minecraft sunglasses. They look like they're 8-bit.
8-bit sunglasses.
Wow. So, Paul, you played with it? Did you and Raphael play with it?
Yeah. I mean,
did you play with it together?
I can neither confirm nor deny the culpability. Mistakes were made.
What did you see?
Well, Raphael's been looking at the PowerShell stuff. I see Mary Jo has added that into the
list.
I was falling asleep when he was talking about that.
I was like, can we say there's PowerShell 4?
I like PowerShell. I like it. I like the idea that I'd never do anything with it, but I like the idea that I could if I wanted to.
Yeah, so I think the big news there is obviously updated to version 4, and which I assume means more built-in commands, but more important, built-in command lets, which are the pre-written scripts that Microsoft provides so that administrators and IT pros can automate tasks using PowerShell. So there's a bunch of stuff there. And actually, you should visit withinwindows.com to find out about that.
That's Raphael's site.
But we had looked at something called kiosk mode before. And in this most recent build, it was called lockdown before and then kiosk mode. And now it's called assigned access. And it appears to be the same. It's just renamed or whatever, so we don't
though is lets you run one task at a time, right? So
yeah,
like lock the machine down to just do one thing.
It's a kiosk. It's a kiosk mode.
It's literally
right, it's a kiosk. Yeah. And a lot of people were saying, oh, is this how they're going to do boot to desktop? I don't think this is related to that.
Yeah, we're going to lock you down to the desktop.
We're going to lock you down onto the desktop.
No, actually, you can't assign the desktop as the app.
Because it's not one thing.
It has to be a Metro style app.
Yeah. Oh, it has to be. Oh, that's interesting. So it has to be a full screen Metro app. That makes sense, though. Because if it's full screen, you know, if you can only do one thing, unless you want it to feel like a Chrome OS.
I think, though, you know, I'm going to get this wrong off the top of my head, but over the years, there had been various Microsoft technologies related to installing Windows in a computer lab like you'd have at a school or maybe even in a business where you're visiting workers or whatever. You boot into this environment, they do stuff with it, and then when you reboot the computer, everything's wiped out and it starts over again from scratch. Right. And, you know, steady state was part of that.
There's Love a server, steady state, which they discontinued.
Yeah, they got rid of that. They talked about doing something called guest mode in Windows 7 that they eventually canceled. And then there was a Windows Server product, which may or may not still be around. I'm not even sure whose name escapes me. I apologize for that. But, you know, all sort of based around the same notion, you know. This is not that. This is very much, like you guys said, a kiosk app. It's for running an app. It's the type of thing you'd see in a mall or an airport or a retail store. You walk up and you need directions or whatever. And even though that thing is running some form of computer under the covers, it could be a very inexpensive SoC type thing like an Intel or ARM based system and with a touchscreen. And, you know, that's those things are coming down.
Voila, you have a $200 computer that does one thing.
Yep.
A kiosk. You know, interestingly, we were talking about this yesterday on Twig, that's a good use for Chromebook. More and more kiosks are using Chrome.
And not coincidentally, perhaps, Google, rather, I believe, just announced a kiosk feature for Chrome OS or for Chrome.
Huh.
Like an actual formal kiosk feature.
Interesting.
I just shut the whole podcast down with that statement.
Wow, we're all so blown away about that.
It was like
put another way, Microsoft is desperately copying Google yet again.
Kiosk mode. This is so old fashioned.
Yeah.
What else? IE developer tools get updated, right? That was another thing in this new build.
Yeah, I haven't looked at that one myself.
I know. It's this build wasn't like a barn burner, definitely.
Well,
I mean,
the big
it was
one
very
is the one that you came up with one, I think.
One of my guys who I follow on Twitter tipped me to this. He said there's now an ability to change the screen resolutions and go way up to much larger sizes. Like you can change the scale up to like 250%, I believe.
200.
So that, I think even beyond that, maybe.
250? No? Oh, maybe it isn't.
Yeah. So that's pretty interesting, the screen resolution thing. But that all plays into what we've heard about Windows Blue and Windows Phone Blue also moving more towards being able to address different screen sizes and different screen resolutions, higher pixel density and all that. So it's just good to see that confirmed that they're moving ahead towards
it relates
that.
To the issue I identified with the Surface Pro, which is that you have this very small screen device, you know, 10.6 inches, but very high res, 1080p.
Yeah.
Metro apps look great on this. But when you go to the desktop, the icons are like the teeniest things. And you can't read the text. And Windows has not historically done a good job of scaling on the desktop. And it looks like in this build there, this is what I think Panos Panay alluded to earlier, where they were going to fix it, where they've also added like an let Windows automatically handle this. And I believe that Windows is probably examining the screen size as well as the pixel density to determine the correct default scaling. Right, which is what you see already. I think actually the Surface Pro does it out of the box. It's not automatic, but they set it to like 150% or 125% scaling just to make it a little easier.
Yeah. So another thing that's kind of interesting to me is I don't think any of these are considered, they say preview in the preview build, but I don't think these are actually what we're thinking of as milestone preview, which is the next release internally of Blue. It's still a little bit early for that, but they're getting very close to having that date come up. And once that does, I bet it'll leak again. And that's when I'm curious if we'll see them add the start button back if that comes to pass. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Someone had told me earlier, and this is some time ago, so obviously things could change, but I had heard that the start button thing might not happen until after the preview.
Yeah,
but
I wonder
given
that, too.
given how excited people are about it, you can see where they might want to do it. You know, in time for people to have it for the preview. I guess we'll see.
Yep.
We have an image for your next book, by the way, Paul, that has just been sent to us from...
Yeah, it's like a Max Headroom shot.
Yeah, Windows 8, deal with it, it says, with Paul and his Minecraft sunglasses. Blue, that's deal good. With it. You should actually change that, would you, Zen server to Windows 8.1. Deal with it.
Right. Yeah. It's better than my previous catchphrase, which was suck it down.
Suck down
the
goodness.
That was like Windows Vista, suck it down.
Suck it down. Yeah, you've heard of suck it up? Just suck it down. Yeah.
You should just like tell people those Carmack are the Fortaleza glasses you're wearing there.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
are they? Yeah. They're from.
No, they're 8-bit. I got these from Lance McCarthy.
They're great.
They're
Minecraft sunglasses.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're actually pretty good sunglasses.
Well, I guess if anybody wants to send us those, I'm sure we can get OMG Craft. OMG Chad, our Minecraft guru, to wear those on his show. Hint, hint. He has an 8-bit set. It's really kind of cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I can.
And he's got an 8-bit pick. No. You want them because they're good sunglasses. But I'm just saying, we should have some.
You obviously need them.
Well, yeah. I'm wondering what the what they're promoting.
Yeah. It
yeah,
says.
So are you apparently
DVL up. .com.
Okay. Develop. Get it?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
This is why the DaVinci Code remains so amazing to me, Leo, because even the simplest of...
that's called license plate clues. You should be able to get those, Paul. You can practice next time. Oh, you know why? He doesn't get in the car. He doesn't drive anywhere. He stays at home. He works at home. That's why.
I do have a 13-year-old car that has 41,000 miles on it.
Wow. You want to see Chad's 8-bit set? It's so cool. There he is on it. Well, the whole set. This is 8-bit. There's a torch. He's got an 8-bit computer. But see how good he would look in those sunglasses?
That's true.
Don't you think?
Yep. I don't know if it goes with his hair.
Nothing goes with his hair. That's all right. We've adjusted to that. Mm-hmm. He's even got... That sword is three-dimensional. That's an actual sword. It's really amazing. Look, just imagine him in those blue sunglasses. Okay, everybody get a screen grab. I'm not above promoting other shows in this show. Lock screen alarms. What the hell is that?
Right. So... Let me see if I can bring it up real quick. You can't enable it, so it's kind of hard to say. You can only kind of speculate. But when you go to the lock screen PC settings area, there is a new button or tile or whatever where, in addition to the status and notifications tiles you can have it says choose an app to show alarms. But there are no alarm apps associated with the system yet, so you can't pick
one. Tease. It's just teasing you.
Yeah.
But that presumably would be an alarm clock app of some kind, which means there'll be an alarm clock widget,
which maybe
right?
could or some exhibit sort of some form of UI gadget. Or whatever through the lock screen, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Can the lock screen, it shows the time. Anyway, already. So we've got an alarm
right.
on there.
So, I mean, let's see. I mean, there's an alarms app, actually. Leo, learning to use Windows as we speak. Nope, still not there. Okay.
By the way, so, DVLUP.com is a Windows Phone 8 developer site from Nokia. Yeah. The chat room tells us. You knew that. That's why you wore the glasses. It was a little subtle.
Yes, I was at a Nokia-sponsored developer event.
Fun.
Coincidental? I don't think so.
No, I think not. Somebody wonders, has the show started yet? Yeah, it has. This is about as good as it gets.
I know, it's hard to tell.
It's really hard to tell.
Kind of meandering on.
It's a show. New desktop display scaling. I think right now it scales quite nicely because you've got the a wide variety of displays. What is it, 1366 by 768, and I have a 19.
Well, Metro does.
Metro does
a great.
And the clear type in beautiful, even on the lower res screens, makes it look like a high res screen.
Yep.
Is that what we're talking about? No, we're talking about desktop.
This is for the desktop.
Same thing though.
Well, now it's just going to be automatic.
Good. Okay, that was fast.
I think Well, no, I mean, because in the past, I don't think people even knew how to find it.
Right.
Right.
Oh, so, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, so on a high DPI display, and we're going to see more and more of those, if you don't have a feature that does that properly, you get little tiny icons. You can't read the text. Mm-hmm. The menus, everything are just too small. And I had that problem on the S7. I put booted Linux, and Linux didn't understand the display. It was almost unusable, and it's worse on the MacBook Retina.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so that's you're saying that they're going to do that built-in. Will it be by DPI? I missed that. And that was a nice feature. I guess it was XP.
So I'm just speculating how they're doing it, but based on the default settings that you see in Surface, I'm guessing that they're going to look at the display size and the DPI to make a determination what the default scaling should be.
Yeah.
Because if you think about, like, you know, a 1080p display on a 27-inch display, 100% scaling is fine. But if you have a 10.6-inch display, like you said, you can't see any of the little bits. And so you would need, 150 or even 200%, whatever, depending on the display. Plus, we're moving to 7/8-inch tablets. So if those things come with really high-res displays, or even a 1366 display, you might want to scale that as well. The desktop would be unusable on those displays.
And at the same time, when Windows Phone's resolutions are going up, like the release everybody calls GDR3 that's supposed to be later this year is supposed to be 1080p, right? So those bigger phones with higher density displays, smaller tablets, it's all kind of converging in the middle in a way.
Yep. You know, there could be more. As Raph and I have been talking about this build, and haven't had as much time as we had in the past, basically because he just got a new desk and he's really distracted right now, which I find
annoying.
But anyway.
A new desk? Not a desktop. A desk?
No, a desk. It's a standing desk that I wanted to buy.
He's got a standing desk.
He bought it first.
Does he now? But you can one-up him by having a treadmill under yours.
Right. Well, we'll see. But anyway.
Then you'll always be out of breath during the show.
I will do a show from the elliptical one day. Maybe
I'd like to have a treadmill under my desk.
Yeah,
and the whole network powers down if I don't keep moving.
Nice. Or the internet speed is based on how fast you're going.
Right, faster.
You want to get you want to turret that thing? You better keep moving.
I like it. Somebody designs that. I'll buy.
Maybe we could find more over the next couple of days. We hope to.
He's distracted by his desk. I know how that is. You get something new.
Yep.
Usually it's not furniture, but okay. You get something new.
This is cool. This is the exact desk I wanted to buy. You know, it's got like two settings. So you can.
Is it an Ergotron?
It goes up and you can stand in front of it. I think it's this. Tell me.
We have one of those. I know what it is. Not Ergotron.
No, it's like the standing.
Is it motorized?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice desk. It's a little expensive. A little pricey.
That's $1,000.
Yeah.
Up desk.
Devel up and now up desk.
Yep.
Ergonomic height adjustable stand up desk.
Actually,
go ahead.
The video they have on their homepage is like an optical effect. Because it's like, is that thing really moving?
It's magically rising. Wow. If it stays up for more than 4 hours, you have to consult a doctor. Oh, it's going down now. Ooh, is it that smooth? Is that beautiful? Is it just like that? That's great. I want that.
I know.
I'm ordering one right now, so I'll have it before you do, Paul.
What is happening here?
We all are beating Paul. But see, you couldn't. Now, this, you couldn't put a treadmill under this, so.
No. I'm always, how do I say this without offending anyone? I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of the Bush presidency, let's just say, but. The one thing I always did kind of get a kick out of was Donald Rumsfeld. Like, he actually works standing up all day long.
Oh, that's neat.
All day long. And I always thought that was kind of amazing. But then, of course, he made this comment about we have these people in Guantanamo. And one of the complaints was that they were making them stand up for 4 hours a day and that constituted torture. And he said, torture? What are you talking about? I stand up for 12 hours a day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good, Mr. Rumsfeld.
Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently this desk is so good it can play a violin. They've got a bow. They've got a bow attached to the up desk, and they're going up and down. You see, it's going up up and down. Isn't that marvelous? You want that desk. I know you do.
Yeah, I do.
Whatever about the desk, it's the best website I've ever seen for a desk.
Yeah.
Here's the rubber band distraction test.
I noticed benefits right away. For starters, I've only been using it for a week.
Okay. There's no reason for that. It's just an outtake, I guess. I don't know. It's very strange. I want That's this awesome. Desk too, though. I could see. So so does Raphael like it?
Yes. I mean,
apparently
he just got
enough
it, so.
To completely suspend work.
Right.
He's probably just raising it and lowering it. Look, it goes up. Yeah. Honey, come here. Look at my desk. MyUpDesk.com. Is Raphael going to do a desk blog next?
Yeah.
Within
he
desk?
Sent me a rather pornographic collection of photos of the desk.
Really? One wouldn't expect that to be possible.
But, I would imagine he's going to review it. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
All right. Anything else to say about the leaked blue? Why do we think they're doing this? What is this
leaking
all about?
It?
Why are they leaking? Because they're leaking it, right? It's not. It's.
I think they are leaking
it. They're leaking it. Come on. Right?
You think.
Actually, if I could draw another parallel to the Bush presidency, since it's been on my mind lately.
Might as well. I'm already going to get the email from the last crack. So just go, you know, dig it in. Dig in, baby. Why is it when I listen to tech podcasts, you guys keep politicizing it? You don't have to write me the letter. It's okay.
Yeah, just understand it's implicit. I think that Microsoft used to. I know that Microsoft used to have a very formal beta testing group. You know, for its various products or groups. Right. That was all disbanded a long time ago. And for the 6 years or so that Steven Sanofsky ran Windows. They weren't particularly interested in feedback other than bug fixes. You know, that they want what they wanted to do was underpromise and overdeliver, show you what was essentially a finished product, and have you then provide feedback. Whereas right. in the past, you used to see early peaks of things, and they'd have a chance to provide feedback.
And so, I think that might have failed. That approach might have failed them.
Yeah. I mean, it works since, you know, it works for some people and for some companies. Apple obviously has a culture of secrecy and so forth, but Microsoft's not Apple, and this seems to me, and again, this is just assuming that they are allowing this stuff to happen, which it does seem like, this is a way to get feedback from tech enthusiasts. The people have been very vocal about Windows 8, and mostly negatively, where they can look at this and say, look at this, they are making improvements. They're listening to what we said. They're addressing those things that we complained about. And that actually makes some sense to me. And again, I have no knowledge that's what's happening, but that's how it looks to me.
And not a bad idea, frankly. We talked last week about this kind of patriarchal, authoritarian approach to delivering software, where we're seeing it more and more, where just companies say, no, this is how it's going to be.
Yep.
We know best. And when people don't like that, you got a problem. Now, there was good news for Microsoft's tablet sales. They are we're number two, right? Number three?
We're in number five.
Number okay, we're number five. That's a chant. But it's okay. Good. That's almost a million Surfaces, right?
Yeah. More to the point, though, I mean, how many companies are out there that have been making tablets for years and years
right,
and aren't
right.
in the top five?
That's
you
a good
know,
point.
Where's Acer? Where's... Right. You know, where are these other companies? You know, Dell or whatever, you know, different PC companies. So, yes, it's a small number compared to Apple or Samsung, obviously, but...
It's a good number. It is the first time Microsoft's made a computer, so, you know, I'm not surprised that there's interest, right?
Yeah.
One would expect that.
The other interesting bit, though, is that with 900,000 sales, assuming that's correct, they represent 50% of this market for Windows tablets in that quarter. There were 1.8 million Windows tablets overall. So that means that Microsoft is already accounting for 50% of all of the tablets that are sold, Windows tablets.
Wow. Yep. That's good.
And almost all of those are Surface Pro, right? I mean, I don't know if it broke
it
out.
Yeah, they didn't. I don't know that they broke it out, but.
Oh, interesting. Well, say that again. So
yeah, so
RT
Surface
is
Pro.
Not really a big part of it.
No, No, RT is a pretty small part of it, which everybody kind of knew. And, you know, also this is Q1 of 2013 numbers, right, from IDC. Yep. So the RT push was in Q4. So they haven't really been pushing RT as hard. They have been expanding the market, but Surface Pro launched on February 9th.
Halfway through the quarter, almost.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, in three markets, right? That's the other thing. Right. They're not sold anywhere outside the United States, Canada, and where's the other market?
So really, this isn't bad. In 6 weeks, they sold 900,000 or whatever. I don't know. How many of them were Surface Pros? 90%? 80%?
Probably.
We don't really know. Yeah. Guess. Yeah, just guessing.
It's reasonable.
Yeah. It's a lot. If they sold 800,000 in 6 weeks, they sold at least 100,000 a week.
And had consistent supply problems. You know, the first month or so, you couldn't get the thing even if you wanted it. It's not bad. I mean, we'll see. I mean, obviously, the rest of the year needs to occur, and then we'll see if this maintains. Because now they're shipping it to more markets this quarter. It is available if you want it, and so now we're going to find out if people still want it. But
do you want it? We got it.
Yeah.
Ed Bott has an article where he tries to do some arithmetic on that. I don't know. Do you? I'm sure you've read it. Do you credit it?
Not really. I think the thing with the ad post that you're referring to
is
that
strategy analytics thing.
No, it's Mary Jo probably doesn't want to comment on this too much because this is occurring in her backyard. But there's a little bit of like a blogger battle going on over there between the Linux guys and the Windows guy. And
so Stephen J. Von Nichols versus Ed Bott in a cage match, and Mary Jo Foley is she's just got the sign round two.
Yeah, I'm selling tickets.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I view it. I mean, Ed is going to very positive like pro Microsoft view of the world, but
he does. He really likes his Windows.
Yeah.
You're breaking up a little, Paul. I don't know if it's us or you the BitTorrent fired up.
There might be something wrong with my internet connection, actually.
Bang on it.
Yeah.
Just hit it.
Cat is sleeping on the router.
Well, this next one is surprisingly a Mary Jo Foley story about Windows Phone 8 apps.
Actually, it's both of our story, but I'll set the scene and let Paul kind of fill in the details on this one. So this week, Microsoft announced they were looking for beta testers for a Facebook app for Windows Phone 8. And this is an app we think Microsoft itself is still building, and consultation from Facebook.
There's no Facebook app on Windows Phone 8.
There is a Facebook app that a consulting company developed for the Windows Phone 7X, and so Microsoft's now testing the Windows Phone 8 version.
Got it.
When people saw it, there was a lot of surprise because this app doesn't have some of the Metro-style navigation capabilities that people had come to expect from a Windows Phone app. So, of course, people are saying, what's this mean? Are they backing away from Metro? Is this like Microsoft cutting corners? Or are they going to say to developers now, hey, you know what? You don't have to do Metro-style. We just want your app. And this was compounded today when Untappd also came out with their final version for Windows Phone 8. Again, it doesn't look anything like a Metro-style app.
This is the Mary Jo part of the story.
I still haven't gotten.
It doesn't look like a Windows. That's weird.
No. We're going to talk more about Untappd later in the show, but
I have a theory about this.
Yeah, I want to hear your theory on this, why this is happening.
So first, Leo, you should go if you go to WinSuper. I should have linked to this in the notes. I apologize. Okay. If you go to winsupersite.com, the second article down is called Why is the Facebook Beta App for Windows Phone 8 Identical to the Android and iOS Apps? For which I win award for the longest blog post title of all time. And if you scroll down to the third screenshot, you can see the Windows Phone Beta, the Android and the iOS versions of the Facebook app side by side. And what you will notice is that they were virtually identical.
Yeah.
Now, it's even worse than those screenshots sort of suggest, because if you're familiar with the way that Facebook works on iOS or Android, you know that you can slide in from the left to get a menu of items, and you can slide in from the right to do chat.
Right.
And that also works exactly the same way on Windows Phone. Now, that is not how Metro apps look or work on Windows Phone. It's just not. And the fact that Microsoft allegedly made this app, to me, is very suspicious. And why would they do this? Why
because
would they,
Mark Zuckerberg said he wanted it that way. He said, if you want to do a Facebook app, this is what it's going to look like. Because we want a consistent experience. We don't care about your consistent experience, Microsoft. We care about our consistent experience.
Microsoft
has to stand up to them. Somebody in the chat room said this, and I agree. And just as Apple would, and say no.
Except for one thing. So Apple has, 40% of the smartphone market or whatever it is, a huge figure.
Yeah.
Microsoft is like 3.
Yeah.
So
it's a clout thing.
Yeah. So, yeah. This will amaze you, given my general demeanor. But rather than look at this as a major capitulation, the silver lining to this, I think, is this. The strength of Windows Phone is not the way that the Metro-style stuff looks in apps. It's the integrated experiences you get in the platform itself. It's the OS.
Right.
It's the fact that you often don't have to go into apps to get stuff done. Or that if you want to post to a social networking service, you can do it through the People Hub or the Me interface, and you don't have to really think, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever. If you want to play with photos or do something with photos, you go in the Photos Hub. If you want to play a game, you go into games. Like, you don't have to think about what it is exactly you're doing and then where that thing would be in the phone. It's the fundamental strength or superiority of Windows Phone compared to these other things.
Mm-hmm.
The apps almost don't matter. And so if someone like Facebook wants to brand the app like their stuff to the expense of Metro, I actually don't think that's necessarily a huge deal. But more to the point, the people who really make these apps, I don't actually think Microsoft made this. I bet that they are essentially farming this out to some third party, and that there's some sort of cross-platform designer tool or whatever that they're using.
Oh, that might be, sure.
To make this happen.
Sure.
If this allows apps to appear on Windows Phone more quickly, and as important, be updated more quickly, then this is A-okay. Because the problem with Facebook, specifically on Windows Phone, is that the built-in functionality is not complete. So, for example, you can check in from Windows Phone to Facebook, but you can't check in other people, and you can't post a photo as part of the check-in. You need the app for that stuff. But as Facebook updates their mobile apps, the Windows Phone app has lagged behind the other apps in the past. So it's always been kind of a second-rate thing in some ways for various reasons, whether you're using the app itself or the built-in experience. And so if this leads to more of a parity with the apps on other platforms, I think this is an A-OK thing to give up, because the inherent advantages of the platform remain in place because it's the OS.
You know what else? I've been thinking more about this too is, Microsoft's trying to get users from iOS and Android to move over to Windows Phone. So they've already probably been using Facebook on those phones. And when they move over to Windows Phone, they don't want to have to relearn the whole experience and have something look really different, right?
Yeah.
I mean, on Untappd, that was the case too. They started out on iOS and Android, and now the app that they did for Windows Phone looks almost identical to that.
But it's an opportunity missed for Microsoft, because if you get somebody moving from Android to Windows Phone, and of course, they're going to install the Facebook app, and it's slightly different, but it says this is how we do it in Metro, and look how great it is. It's an opportunity for Microsoft. Now, admittedly, Facebook couldn't care less, but I think from Microsoft's point of view, it would be desirable for them to use this as a lever into Metro.
You know, I wonder if Facebook doesn't care less. I kind of wonder if Facebook didn't kind of say to Microsoft, "Hey, you know what? This is how Facebook design principles are."
Right. No, that's what I think.
Yeah.
And so it was probably a battle, right?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe a battle.
I don't think it was much of a battle.
It's a short battle.
I think it was more like, so if you want this to happen, this is how you're doing it.
Yeah, because, it's pretty obvious what happened.
And on Tap's case, I know, because I talked to them today about this, they said they used PhoneGap to move the app over.
Well, so there you go.
That explains that, right? So, they're going to just take the code base and try to port over it as much as they can.
So what would you rather have then? I mean, the situation with Windows Phone till now has been, is the app I want available on Windows Phone? Oftentimes, no. And then the argument is always, we have these crazy apps that other people created that are something like that app. Like, we don't have Instagram, but we have Bobstagram or whatever that, will sort of you know, makes a Polaroid of something, or, right. or you know, actually, Untappd is a good example. We had an app called, you know, Mbeer, right. which we recommended previously. That works. It works okay, you know. But, you know, if you do, you want that official app? Do you want the real thing? And if you do, isn't it better just to have it than to take a stand over some arbitrary design guideline that maybe doesn't make sense anyway?
There's a precedent for this though, and that's Java. In the early days of Java, you would write a program. It was the whole point was write once, read many, you know, be on many platforms. But it all looked like Java. None of it looked native ever.
But do you remember they did do that native control thing?
And they did Swing.
Yeah, which was kind of hokey.
It didn't work so good. We've seen this before. And by the way, people turn their backs against the non-native feel of Java. I still do. Yeah. When I download, because somebody I won't name names, but there are programs out there where they don't have the development resources to do a native version. So they do one of two things. They do it in Java, or worse, they do it in Adobe Air.
Mm. I'd actually never really minded Adobe Air.
Well, but it has the same benefit. It gives you apps on the platform, even if they're not really native.
Yep.
So I think that's what you get, is you get kind of this unhappy medium.
And does Facebook own Instagram?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, I think it's reasonable to speculate that this might have been part of the little argument, too. It's like, we hear you guys want Instagram.
Yeah, you watch. You'll know if Instagram suddenly appears. Yeah,
we could make that happen.
Yeah.
But guess what it's going to look like? It's going to look like Instagram on iOS or Android, you know.
The Instagram app on iOS is run independently of Facebook.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. And I understand the team is pretty independent. They didn't want to screw around with success. So I could see Instagram doing a Metro interface. Somebody in the chat room just mentioned that in build 8.1, the new build, mm-hmm. that PhotoSynth is built into the camera.
Yeah, really? That's another tip from the Walking Cat on Twitter. Which is pretty interesting if it's the case. I'm sure it is if he said it.
I don't have it on the PC yet, so I'll have to do it. Yeah.
So, yeah, PhotoSynth, the Microsoft Photo Stitching app, gets built into the camera. That would be interesting. And
That's bundling. Call the EU.
Yeah, more bundled things. But in this case, that would be cool.
They're going to destroy the market for panorama apps.
This would be a good bundling and not a bad bundling.
Sure.
All right. Okay.
We like this bundle.
Okay. What is his name? Wireless Cat? What?
The Walking Cat.
Walking Cat?
Yeah, he's a really good guy. He really dissects Microsoft rumors and he's kind of like Raf. He digs into the code and finds lots of interesting things. He's the one who found the
screen.
Does he
have a standing desk?
I don't think he has a standing desk.
He's nothing like Raf.
No, true.
This standing desk for an additional $34, you can get a cup holder on this desk.
Can you get a little cat bed?
A little cat bed? They got an anti-fatigue floor mat that probably doubles a cat bed. Mobile CPU caddy. They got a lot of accessories on this. This is a very affordable standing desk. Usually they're not this inexpensive. I'm sorry.
They're still not cheap.
I'm like Raphael. I got completely distracted.
See what happens?
Just shoot some elastics at you. Boom.
We're going to take a break and come back and talk about Mohoro. Mohoro.
Is that how you pronounce
it? I have no idea. Do you have an idea?
No.
Is it Japanese? Mohoro.
No. We'll tell you more.
It's Hawaiian. Mohoro.
No.
No.
Wait till you find out. Interestingly, where it is.
Our show today brought to you by our good friends. Get ready, Paul, at audible.com. Ooh, Paul's been waiting for this for a while. Because Paul and I both are Audible fanatics. You see, Audible's got, I got two credits, Paul. My subscription is renews on the 22nd. So I'm sitting here. I'm sitting pretty, ready to pick a book. And there's so many great books to choose from in fiction, nonfiction. You've got biographies. Paul and I like listening to history. What?
Hmm?
Oh, I thought this was about Doctor Who. It's about Dr. Feelgood, the story of
Motley Crue.
Of the Doctor Who influenced history by treating and drugging prominent figures, including President Kennedy, Marilyn Monroe, and Elvis Presley. That would be good. Here's Mark Maron. Mark Maron, you listen to his podcast, WTF. It's great. He's got a new book, Attempting Normal. And he narrates it. So that's going to be great.
He's got a new TV show coming, too.
He does? Does he? Good. Yeah. He's talented. He's. You know what happened is Louis C.K., who built his entire career. Yeah.
Louis C.K. I was going to call him angry comic guy.
Yeah. Louis C.K. built his entire career on how crappy his life was. And then he got famous and rich, and it's kind of hard to believe. So sure. Mark Maron, the same thing. He's just angry and bitter. But he doesn't have any reason not to be yet. So he's right. The new Louis C.K. until he gets successful, and then we're going to have to move on. There is a new Dan Brown book coming. What are you listening to right now, Paul?
Well, actually, so related to Dan Brown, I the two things about Audible for me lately is I've actually started walking because I don't have enough time to listen to Audible.
Yes.
And I literally I walk around the neighborhood like a homeless person now so I can listen to Audible. I'm serious. I walk 30 to 60 minutes every day now.
It's so good for you. That's great.
Yeah, so I listen to Audible. I'm trying to catch up. And so there are two series of books I've been, listening to. One is the Dan Brown books, because there is a new Dan Brown book coming this month. And, you know, those are decent. I mean, the stories are sort of like James Patterson books, but with a really lot of research, which actually is pretty decent. And, of course, the Da Vinci Code was the big one where people actually believe this was like a history book or something, you know, that was kind of...
Because it was so well done,
Yeah, it's well done. So that's one I was just listening to. And then I'm also listening to those Hannibal books again. I'm actually on the third one now. So I've listened to Red Dragon, Silence of the Lambs, and now I'm on Hannibal, which for whatever reason is still a favorite of mine, even though it's probably the lesser of the... I guess there are four of them technically now. Because there's a Hannibal TV show on, which is okay. I'm not recommending it necessarily, but they take a lot of quotes directly from the books, which I find kind of interesting. And I'm still finding that in the third book. There are direct quotes of the characters use or situations from the third book that are in the TV series, which I think is kind of interesting. But that's what I've been listening to. So I don't have a very specific one, but it's been Hannibal. And then I'm still on Da Vinci Code, which is the second in that series. And I think the third Dan Brown book, it's technically the third of that series with Robert Langdon, the one that took place in the United States, is the one I'm actually least familiar with, because whenever it came out a couple of years ago, it just didn't seem as interesting to me, I guess, as the other two. I think that Da Vinci Code and then the one before it, the Angels and Demons. Angels and Demons. Both of those are great. They're kind of, you know, like I said, you know, well-researched James Patterson type books. But I am going to listen to the other one, too. I just want to go through it one more time to make sure I was right about it. And then, of course, I'll listen to the new one, you know, whenever that comes out.
But. Here's a great one for the geeks who listen. and they say, Martin from our biz dev team can't stop raving about Automate This.
Is it about PowerShell?
No, but it's about algorithms, how algorithms came to rule our world. I don't know about you, but whenever I get in an elevator, it does the wrong thing. No, it does the wrong thing. I go, whoever programmed this was a nitwit. I don't like its algorithm. And it makes you think that, of course, elevators have algorithms. Everything has algorithms. So that's what this book is about, is how things work, kind of, from a digital point of view. I'm going to add this to my my books. So here's how Audible works. In fact, you can go there and get a free book right now. If you go to audible.com/windows, you'll be signing up for the gold account. That's the book a month subscription, which is a good way to do it. And by the way, with the subscription, you also get to choose from a daily download of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, read out loud to you, which is great if you're want to have a little extra time in the commute and you want to get some news poured into that brain. The Big Thirst, The Secret Life and Turbulent Future of Water. See, this, for me, nonfiction puts me right out. But if I'm driving or I'm at the gym working out, it's a great way to learn. 100,000 plus titles. Really great readers. So they're always nicely done. And you can get your first one free. Sign up for that gold account. Book a month, plus the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. And your first month is free. That means your first book is free. Cancel anytime in the first 30 days, pay nothing, but you will get to keep the book. And you will, I think, find that Audible is a great resource, especially if you spend a lot of time in the car or at the gym, or as Paul does, walking. It's a great. I listen walking all the time. It's really great. It's really great. Audible.com/windows. We thank them for their support of Windows Weekly. So, Mahoro.
Mahoro.
Windows is a service. That is a scary name. What does that mean?
Yeah, Windows as a service. So Mahoro, however, if anybody in the chat room knows how to pronounce this, I'm all ears on that. It's named after a town on the Grand Comore in the Comoros Islands.
Oh.
Right, which gave a clue. So a friend tipped me to the code name, and then I started chasing it down, and I'm like, okay, it's in the Indian Ocean. Then I found out it was something that Microsoft's India Development Center was working on. And then from there, it was easy to unravel the code name. And what it is a version. It's basically remote desktop services hosted on Windows Azure. So it's Windows as a service in terms of like desktop virtualization in the cloud. Remember what OnLive was trying to do back?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, except done legally from Microsoft's licensing perspective, we think. although that remains to be seen. We'll see how legal it is as they go forward and how that all works out. But they're in very early stages on this, supposedly just in the early development phase. And I'm hearing it probably won't come to market until like mid to late 2014. But just in the same way that Microsoft's turning everything into a cloud service, all their software is turning into a cloud service. This is them taking RDS and turning it into a cloud service. They did this with Windows Intune too, if you remember. They took System Center, Online Desktop, I think it was called at one point, and then they turned that into a cloud service. So this is along those same lines. In fact, I think it's the same team. It's something inside the server and tools business, and they're building this out. They're not talking about it yet. They're not commenting. They're saying my article is rumors and speculation. Mm. But it's not, people. Listen to me. It's real.
You're dastardly.
She is. She's evil. Mahoro. It's her evil island that she lives on.
It is.
The Dr. No Island.
Dr. No Island. Mahoro.
Yeah, this could be pretty interesting as this comes to market. I mean, this could give you a way to run Windows Client in the cloud. I wonder if it isn't somehow connected, and this is just pure speculation on my side. No one has said this. I wonder if it doesn't have some implications for how Microsoft ends up delivering Office for iOS and Android. Think about it. They could do it this way. That's what OnLive was trying to do, right?
I hope not.
So, I know you hope not.
It's not just OnLive. There's other virtualization.
Yeah, other
services.
People do it too.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
OnLive went out of business, obviously, but.
Could run Windows on a Chromebook with this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is not the way I want to run, speaking of native, the way I would want to run Office on an iPad.
No.
It's not what anybody's hoping for.
No.
Yeah. And I'm just, again, just pure guess speculation there. Right. But the Mahoro part's not speculation. The iPad part is speculation.
Right.
Yeah.
This makes a lot of sense.
It does. I mean, a lot of people said, wow, this makes sense. I was wondering when they were going to do this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, the part that's going to be interesting is how Microsoft cuts the channel partners in or out here. Like, you know, Citrix does a lot of this with Microsoft now, and they're a very tight hosting partner.
Right.
So we'll see how that affects the partners as we go forward. Yeah.
Mahoro. Windows Azure is now a $1 billion business.
Yeah. Another announcement from the on the Azure front this week. So they finally have crossed the $1 billion threshold, they say. Although a number of people don't say they don't believe this. Well, Microsoft announced it, so.
I love that.
I know. A lot of people are saying to me, oh, that's a lie. I'm like.
They're a public company. They can't lie.
Microsoft lied in a publicly issued statement.
They can't lie. They're not allowed to.
That's awesome. I mean, that is awesome. Yeah.
They can, you know, they can fudge the numbers a little. Like they did say this includes some software that they're providing to some of their hosting partners. Okay, so maybe there's some Windows Server in there. But they already had said before this Windows Server was a $1 billion plus business, you know? So yeah. So now this is interesting. Server and tools business at Microsoft now has $7 billion businesses just inside that division. So they have Azure, they have Windows, SQL Server, System Center, Visual Studio, the desktop access business, and enterprise consulting. So they're up to $7 billion businesses in that one division now. which is pretty amazing. But that's why Server and Tools always kills it every time we have Microsoft earnings. They're doing pretty well on their businesses.
Yep. Office 2, not surprisingly, multiple billion-dollar businesses in there.
Yep. Yeah, Azure's another thing on the Azure front this week was they're actually really stepping up how quickly they're rolling things out on the Azure team. And I have to say, Scott Guthrie, the red-shirted one, gets a lot of kudos on this because it's his team doing a lot of the rollouts right now. And they're rolling out a lot of new developer features. This week, they rolled out some new networking features like point-to-site connectivity got rolled out this week, software, virtual private networking, dynamic DNS support in Azure. All of that got rolled out this week, just a couple of weeks after they just rolled out all the new virtual machine technology and the enterprise networking technology. So they are totally on a roll right now with delivering new stuff.
Neat.
Which is very good.
Azure.
I cannot keep up with Azure.
Azure. Well, at least we know how to pronounce it now.
we didn't know at the beginning. Yeah.
I am assured that this is how you pronounce it.
We still don't know how Azure. We still don't know how to pronounce Mahoro, so that's good. There's always something we don't know how to pronounce. That's important. And Outlook, the Hotmail transition is done.
Yeah. Mission accomplished, baby.
Yeah. Oh, man. I think I said on the show the other few weeks back, I never have gotten so much email with help, cries for help as from Hotmail people being moved to Outlook. And it just keeps going. Oh, man. You know, because I hear from people you don't hear from, Paul. I don't hear from power users. I hear from normal people.
When will they turn off AOL mail? Then you're going to hear some howls of pain.
I know, right? Oh, man. At one point, I was getting like, I don't know, like 20 emails a day from people going, oh,
really? God, that's awful. Yeah.
Who loves Hotmail that much?
I know. Outlook.com is beautiful.
I don't understand why you would not want to move to Outlook.
No, you know, it wasn't they didn't want to move. They were moved by Microsoft. And then one day they came back to their Hotmail and it was like, wow, this looks different. And I've been used to this since, like, you know, 1997 or whatever, you know.
And this is why people don't like Windows 8. It just shows you. I mean,
right. They're stuck in their ways.
Frozen in time.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, to their defense, to some of these people's defense, you know, it's not... Right on first glance, you may not know where your contacts are. You may not know, go to the down arrow and like look for your contacts under there.
Why do you need contacts? Like what? Why would you go to contacts?
I don't know. They wanted to go to their contacts. Like,
I just don't understand.
Yeah.
To edit them. I go to my contacts all the time.
Do you? Yeah.
To edit them, right?
Yeah, that's what they wanted to do. Some of them wanted to edit their contacts. Yeah. But anyway, leave.
You mean you never edit your contacts? It's just they're...
No, I don't mean that. I mean, in other words, I'm looking at the email interface and contacts isn't the first thing that comes to my mind. It's more like I'm going to read email and send email. And
well, we're used to a path to contacts from email, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so when you change that, Google knows that too. You know, you change one thing on the search page and the world is like the world ended.
That's life, you know? I know.
Yeah, that's true.
That's success.
Yeah. It's success, and it's my email inbox overflowing with scared, angry people.
Scared and angry.
There was a guy actually who emailed me this week, and he said, I heard that Outlook.com only sends email every 30 minutes or checks for email every 30 minutes. Is there a way to change that? And I said, where's the place where I, you know, could refresh it so I can get the email more quickly?
That's a good question.
It took me a while to even understand what he was asking, and then I finally realized, you know, it's just instant. There's no setting.
It's your inbox.
There's no place you can go to say, I want this to come in more slowly. It's just there.
That comes from the kind of people who are used to a smartphone, which polls, right?
Yep. Or can. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. But you could, can you gather mail from other POP services with Outlook?
Yes, you can.
That may be what he's asking.
Right. Oh, okay.
It's how can I speed up the polling of my other services?
Yeah, you can't. I wrote a tip for that, Leo.
Well, there you go.
Do you want to know the answer?
Yes.
you don't pull for other email. You have the other email forward, because forwarding is automatic and immediate.
And fast.
And pulling is something you can't control.
Good point.
See?
Just change how you contextualize it.
Yep.
I like it.
That is related to a new feature that was announced this week.
Oh. Do you want to talk about that now?
No.
Okay, then.
You're a bad man, Paul Thurrott. A bad man. Go ahead, talk about it. Come on, I know you want.
So what? There were two new. I guess I'll take one, and maybe Mary Jo can talk about the other one. But there were two new features they announced, and this one has been years in the making, which is that Hotmail and now Outlook have always offered the ability to aggregate multiple accounts, like we were just discussing, and then you can send mail as another account. So, for example, if you have a Gmail account, a Yahoo account, and an Outlook.com account, you can go to Gmail and Yahoo, configure those accounts to forward your mail to Outlook.com. And so now all of your mail is coming into one place. But sometimes you want to send an email as that account, you know, because for whatever reason. And you can configure that in Outlook.com. But as was the case with Hotmail for years and years, the email would not go out as if it were from that account. It would say, on behalf of, you know, so say from Paul Thurrott at, you know, Thurrott@Outlook.com, whatever the address is, on behalf of Thurrott@gmail.com.
Yeah, Gmail did this too.
So this has been very upsetting. And so they just this week are starting to add the feature. It's basically, I guess, SMTP send, where you can configure. Well, actually, I guess it does it for you automatically. So if you say I want to send email from Gmail, it will say, it knows what the Gmail SMTP server settings are, and it will set that up accordingly for you. And so the on behalf of is a thing of the past. Or assume. It's big. I'm going to have to rewrite my tip on this one because that one's changed.
No, I think that's really a good thing to do because it confuses people. Like, well, okay, who do I reply to? What is your email address? I actually now put my email address in my signature of my email, the one I want people to use, because it's not always clear what email address they're going to return to is going to be, right?
Yeah. And I, you know, this has always been the weird caveat with Outlook.com because I really like it a lot, recommend it to people. But if you want to use it on multiple accounts, you have to kind of tell people that this is part of it. You know, like, sorry, like you can do it, but it's not going to be exactly what you want necessarily. And now they're fixed. Now they fixed it.
There you go. And Mary Jo, you want to do the other feature?
Yeah. The other one is the SkyDrive integration with Outlook.com. So now when you're inserting files and pictures, you can do that directly from SkyDrive, and all the right permissions are going to be attached to the things that you're trying to send. So they said that's starting to roll out today to Outlook.com users, and it will be available worldwide in the coming weeks. So that's another nice one, too. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Very, very nice.
Yeah. So the big number they had this week is we now have 400 million active Outlook.com accounts. And the reason they have that many is because that's all the Hotmail people who got moved over, and they're counting those. Yeah.
Wow.
The even bigger number was 150 petabytes,
I know,
which is 150 million gigabytes of email data was transitioned during this migration.
Which is mind-boggling.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't even know how much that is.
Well, it's there's an infographic, Leo.
Yeah?
It's 6 Mount Everests of DVDs.
Gee, Monique, what?
It would take over 20 years to tweet 150 petabytes of data if everyone in the world tweeted once per day.
What? That's incredible.
It would take 300,000 years to listen to 150 petabytes of music.
That is an amazing statistic.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Oh yeah, one more Outlook.com thing we didn't mention too was Microsoft also announced this week Skype audio video integration from your Outlook.com inbox.
Skype, so I can be in the Outlook inbox and say I want a video chat.
Chat with this person.
I want to chat.
Well, you can if you live in the UK.
Right, starting in the UK.
I don't know.
Can you chat with people outside? So it has to be Brit to Brit?
No, they're rolling it out over time. So it's starting in the UK.
When they say peer to peer, they mean lords to lords.
Yes.
That's a very absurd joke. I don't know if that really works.
No, I think a lot of people watch Downton Abbey.
Okay, good. Lord Downton can call Lady Snaffley.
It may not be working yet, though. I saw Tom Warren tweet that he was not having luck doing it. And he's one of those lords trying to get it to work.
Sir or Tom Lord Warren.
Sir Tom Warren.
Sir Tom Warren. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's supposed to be working in the UK, we should say, but maybe not yet.
Peerage to peerage.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Skype, is Messenger dead yet?
I know. Arms for the dead.
Not dead yet.
Yes, you are.
I keep asking, so have you guys completed this transition? Like, could I get an update where you're at in this transition? And I can't get an update, but I know Alex was like, oh no, they just migrated me. So I guess they're up to migrating US users now. But it was supposed to be around April 30th that everybody was migrated worldwide. So I think they're probably a little bit behind on that because US just got migrated recently. But we don't really know for sure.
These things take time.
They take time. They take time.
I already got Skype running full time on every device.
Yeah, well.
Why not?
I can always, I forget. There are some interaction weirdnesses. I tried to send an image today to someone on Messenger using Skype, and you can't actually do that.
Oh,
it was
and me. So it's one of those weird things.
Haven't moved, have you, Mary Jo? Huh?
No, he's like, I'm sending this to you. I'm like, you can't. You're using Skype.
Like, why doesn't this work? I'm dragging it in. It's not doing anything. And I'm like, I just did this.
I guess
it works fine if it, Skype to Skype, it works fine.
Yeah, I guess there's no point getting Skype to Messenger work if you're going to kill the server last year.
But even Skype to Trillion's not working, right?
Oh.
Is it?
No.
I hope that never works.
Come on.
Just to make Mary Jo crazy.
Who would use Trillion?
I'm using it. I like it.
I do too.
Yeah. Okay.
It's so I can still talk to my AIM brothers.
Yep. Wow. Me too. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
We didn't put this in the notes. Should we show the wedding video?
Yeah, everybody's talking about it. The Nokia wedding video.
Yeah. Mike Baz on Twitter is like, show the wedding video. It's actually a pretty good Windows Phone commercial.
I saw it on maybe not.
This video is on TV. This commercial is on TV.
I thought I saw it on TV. Yeah.
Oh, did you?
I think this video is hilarious. I think it's great. I like the poking fun stuff. You always hear from people and it's usually Apple guys who seem to be really sensitive, but you always hear this kind of argument. Well, I don't know what feature they're trying to sell the phone here. This doesn't really make me want to buy one of these things. Every ad doesn't have to be literal. You know, it could just be fun. It does kind of
hit at a problem in the world. You'll see. Let's watch.
Yeah.
Let's go to the wedding right now.
I am delighted. And the serenity and joy of this beautiful day as we come together to celebrate the commitment of these
two. Would you mind moving your enormous phone? You mean the enormously awesome Galaxy?
Search one trick pony.
Aren't you a little young to have an iPhone?
You want to go?
I sheep, copy bots.
Autocorrect this.
Ooh!
I love the two guys tapping.
Is there an app for that?
Search karate.
Search karate, he's saying to Siri. I love that one. He goes all the way across the floor.
Do they know about the Nokia Lumia that stopped fighting all the time?
I don't know. I think they kind of like fighting.
That's the point, right? I think they kind of like fighting. Don't fight,
Nokia
Switch.
Lumia 920, Engadget's Reader's Choice Smartphone of the Year.
Kind of like it. I think that's a good ad.
I do too.
If you're listening, it's just an audio, you know, you I think you probably could figure out what's going on. It's a wedding, and it gets interrupted because, first of all, and this is happening now, not just at weddings, but at every event, every damn person is looking at the event through a screen.
You know, it's sad.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Some of them with iPads, which is really, really sad.
That drives me insane.
Yep.
At least no one had a Google Glass.
If I ever end up in jail, it's because I assaulted an iPad user. That's how it's going to happen.
So the funny thing is the groom's side is all Android and the bride's side is all iPhone. And they start...
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, they take shots at each other. One-trick pony, you know, because Samsung's always pushing this to bump the phones together, which I've never, ever, ever, ever done with a Samsung phone. But that's the thing they push.
Well, you can do that with Windows Phone, too. It's just NFC.
That's right. We did our little bump... short, remember?
I don't like my phone to touch other people's phones.
I don't want to do that.
it feels dirty.
I don't actually have any friends, otherwise I could. So it's anyway, they're fighting, and then
I just like the sound effect. They kind of do it, and the two guys both make the sound themselves.
Bing!
I just think yeah, they're like, bing. It's just so awesome. You know, like, this is why we bought this phone, because you can't do this.
And finally, the servers who are using Windows phones, say, you know, standing back saying, why do they fight? Because they like to.
And they have these nice, colorful Lumias that everybody else's phones are gray.
That's true, gray and white. Yeah, you're right. The Lumias stand out in that color. So there you go.
It's cute.
It's cute. We do want to do a few, Paul, you're so bad. Paul calls this next segment This Week in Microsoft Rumors, or Next Week Verge Exclusives.
Well, because I know where they're getting the information
from.
Not particularly clear if it's still.
Microsoft de-emphasizing the cartoonish avatar with a new Xbox. They kind of, they made these look like the Nintendo Weebles. Or whatever
Mii's. Yep.
No more Mii's.
Well, I guess they'll still be around because people have them, obviously. But I guess, this is just rumor.
I spent a long time getting that thing to look like me.
Yeah.
I guess with a picture, it would look like me just right out of the box.
I can't make my little guy's hair gray enough.
Yeah, they don't want anybody to think that gray-haired people use Xboxes.
Right. They're also really, like, kind of thin.
Yeah.
You can't really fill them out.
The truth is 90% of Xbox users are fat, gray-haired men. So I don't understand it.
There is not a single avatar that looks anything like that.
I don't get it. That's good. I hope that's true. Real photos. And partly that's because it's going to be more than gaming. It's Skype.
Yeah.
And
it's going to be huge entertainment stuff.
Yeah.
So
you don't want to look like a me. You know.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you get called on the Xbox by a friend, you want to see the friend. You know, you want to see that it's Mary Jo, not that it's
me.
Some cartoon character from an anime cartoon or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know. I've never really liked the avatar stuff on a number of levels. But the big issue to me was just that it was such so obviously a copy of what Nintendo did. I just never understood that.
Right. So Microsoft says that half of all Windows 8 tablets will be their own next year. That's bad news if you want to keep a happy OEM ecosystem, is it not?
You know, if the market grows enough, it's not necessarily bad.
That's a good point.
Given the quality of the Surface, I mean, you got to admit it's kind of head and shoulders above everything else.
And people don't mind buying it they prefer buying it from the company, right? Don't you think?
Supposedly this is and this is tied to the next room, you know, that this is the going to be one of Microsoft's next billion-dollar businesses, they expect.
We've become the billion-dollar business game. Billion-dollar business bingo.
That's why, you know, I always use the Google Reader example. You know, why does Microsoft make a Google Reader, you know? Well, yeah. Because that would please six of us. Yeah. But none of whom would pay for it.
A couple of dollar business. I would like a $5 business, please.
Right. And then Mary Jo added one.
Oh, yeah?
Yep, I did. I added the DigiTimes one from today, which was a new Surface to come in multiple 7 to 9 inch models and be announced at Build.
By the way, this is when you know a company has made it, is when you see rumors in DigiTimes.
I know, right?
That's a good sign.
I mean, they were pretty okay on previous Surface rumors compared to some of their other rumors. So
the
maybe
Apple
there's
stuff is pretty bad.
Yeah, there might be a grain of truth in this one. You know, Paul was the one who said he heard there was going to be an 8-inch Surface. Wall Street Journal reported 7. So maybe there's going to be something in the middle. I don't know.
I don't know
how many new models there'll be.
The iPad Mini is 7.9 inches.
Yeah.
And they call it 8.
Right.
It's really 7.
Yeah.
So it could be like that.
Yeah. The one part of this that's more worrisome to me is announce at Build. If they announce at Build, hopefully people get a device, like a developer's tablet. Because if they don't and they just announce it and months go by, it won't be good.
Yep. Classic but Microsoft.
They didn't do that before with Surface. Well, yeah, they did. Surface Pro, they did. They announced Surface Pro like almost a year.
Have they come out with the Windows Phone 8 SDK yet?
No.
That's awesome that you remember that.
I know. Yeah, what a memory. No, what a bad memory. Right?
Not that they would ever do that.
Thank you for scratching the scab, Leo.
I know. He really is.
You were just healing, huh?
Yeah.
They would never do that.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
That's how could
By the way, Apple, the most secretive company in the tech industry, issues beta versions of SDKs for future versions of iOS pretty regularly.
It's surprising, too, because that's where we get all of the Apple leaks for capabilities, upcoming
Even they do that.
Not all, but a lot, yeah.
I mean, why would you want developers to have early access to your next platform? That's crazy.
And the reason we'd need it for this is because of the very different screen size. Developers would have to try their apps in a smaller screen and see how it resizes, that kind of thing. Or no?
Well, the Visual Studio has a very nice ability to target different devices when you're writing them. So you could be on your big computer with its big screen writing the app, plug your tablet into it, and have it target the app when it runs to the tablet. So you can see exactly that it's working properly. So that would be, like Mary Jo said, giving those out to developers who are going to be at Build would be a great idea. Or even if they're just like prototypes, you know, as long as the screen size is there and it's got the rough specs.
But what if this, and this is what Apple did, what if you released it, but you kept the resolution the same as the bigger one? You kept it 1366 by 768.
Yeah. Actually, I do expect them to do that. Yeah,
then you wouldn't, then there's no reason to assume anything would be different.
Well, the issue there would, I guess, would be the desktop and the scaling and so forth. But
desktop. Damn that thing.
The other thing, though, is, you know, there's a need to get hardware into developers' hands because it's the only really good way to test certain sensors.
Yeah.
And to also test an app, you know, in a real-world scenario. Because they have pretty, you know, they have good emulators and all that kind of stuff. But you can't beat having actual hardware, you know, for testing apps.
I'm going to write that in my notebook, a little aphorism for Paul.
What's that?
You can't beat actual hardware for testing apps. It's good. It's true. It's right. It's awesome. Our show today brought to you by the good folks at ShareFile.com. If you have been sending email attacks, we all got to share files at business. And you've heard me scream for 6 years, ever since the first email viruses, don't send attachments. People invariably say, but Leo, we're in business. We have to send attachments. No, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. You can use ShareFile. ShareFile is a great way, built by business, for business. The folks at Citrix did it, so it is robust, it is powerful, it's everything you want. In fact, it's customizable for a variety of industries, dozens of different industries. If you visit ShareFile.com and do our free trial, well, the first thing they'll ask you is, would you like to customize it for your industry? So if, for instance, you're in medicine, one of the number one things people want to do in medicine is share patient records. But HIPAA, federal regulations say you can't do that via email. It's not secure. It's not safe. Somebody else could get a copy of it. And then, of course, if you're sending large files, they could bounce x-rays, things like that. ShareFile solves the problem because instead of sending an email, you're sending a secure link, a link that has all sorts of nice features, the ability to track who opens it when, to say you can download this once, twice, unlimited number of times, for how long, 1 day, 1 week, 1 year, password protection for ultimate control. It's easy to set up shared folders for easy collaboration with clients and coworkers. I use ShareFile in business for my work with radio stations. I send them audio files, which are absolutely too big to email. But it's interesting, once I set up ShareFile, I start using it for everything, for sharing photos, everything. ShareFile, it'll change the way you work. Now we've got a 30-day free trial offer for you with no obligation. You can see the difference in your business right away for collaboration, for efficiency. At the office or on the go, yes, you can run ShareFile on your tablet or your smartphone. And when you do that, it means you can share those files that are stored on your desktop with other people and yourself. Visit ShareFile.com today. Now, I'm going to ask you something a little special. You see a big green button that says free trial. Don't click that. Click the one at the top, the little green microphone that says radio listeners. Click here. I know this is a podcast, but if you would do that, click that. And then type in the word Windows for your offer code for 30 days free. Do enter, and you don't have to customize it for your business, but it's not a bad idea to do so because you can see all the different features it has for all those different businesses. It's really nice. Everything from religion to real estate, from publishing to private equity, from medicine to magazines. ShareFile.com. Click the microphone at the top of the page. Use the promo code Windows. And we thank you and their support. Time now for Paul's pick of the week, Mr. Therott. Oh, hold on.
Is just that anyone who listens to this podcast
yes.
and cares about Windows at all or about Microsoft, whatever, needs to watch the video that is linked to in the show notes. It's called The Reimagining of Microsoft. It's a talk that was given by Albert Shum, who you might know as the kind of the design lead for Windows Phone. He's the general manager of the Windows Phone Design Studio at Microsoft. And another guy who I've not heard of before, but apparently Microsoft has contracted a company called Wolf Olins to remake their brands, both the Microsoft brand itself and then all of their product brands as well. This guy's name is Todd Simmons, and they give a joint talk. It's really only about 30 minutes long. But they talk about the work that they've done externally and internally at Microsoft to reimagine Windows. You know, you've heard that term reimagine Microsoft.
Sanofsky was always saying, "We're Windows reimagined." That's Windows.
Yeah, and this is where it comes from. This was basically a brand consultant came in and said, you know, you need to reimagine the whole company. And it is an amazing video. There's a lot of designers speak in it.
You can tell he's a brand consultant because he's wearing a scarf in a
in Oslo, Norway, so it's probably cold.
Oh, that's okay then. All right.
I'm sure his neck is cold.
But it seems all designers wear scarves, whether it's cold or not. I don't know why. It's just a certain look. So you're saying that Norwegians reimagined Microsoft?
No. He's not from Norway. This is just where the talk
they're
was.
In Norway. All right.
I don't know what compelled them to do this. I've seen Albert Shum speak before, and a lot of of his part of the talk is familiar to me. He talks about,
dude, you're a barista. Okay, Dinkus. Okay, go on. Yeah, continue. The guy's wearing a barista T-shirt. Okay,
Well, you know, he's one of the guys behind the Metro design in Windows.
Oh, he's a Microsoft guy.
Yeah. So I've heard him speak before. His themes are very familiar to me. He talks about how design should be digitally authentic and, you know, all that kind of stuff. He's probably one of the big proponents of the Swiss design stuff that you see in the Metro design language and so forth. But the fact that Microsoft had contracted with these other guys was news to me anyway. And the first time I'd seen this, it's kind of a lifting of the kimono, like how they decided to go about doing it. And it is a really, really interesting video and well worth it.
I'm dying to see this. Do you think that this is the right thing to do, is to go to a third party and have them redesign the company?
Yeah, I don't think Microsoft could have done this on their own, frankly.
And did they implement everything that these guys recommended?
No, not yet. And so there's some forward-leaning stuff in this. They looked at, you know, Xbox and Bing and other changes that are coming. But I think, you know, from the outside, we talk about the Metro stuff and Windows 8 and how a lot of people don't like it and, you know, what are they thinking and blah, blah, blah. And there's a lot of thinking that went into that, and a lot of that information is in this video, and it makes it seem less kind of helter-skelter than it feels, you know, watching the company externally.
I agree. I agree.
So I really feel like, especially if you're not clear on what Microsoft is doing right now and not positive you like what they're doing, this is well worth watching.
And if you are listening to the podcast and you are hearing about this, you should go watch it right away, because the version of this that was on Vimeo has been made private.
But it's on YouTube.
Yeah, and it's Paul, on YouTube, Paul links to it from an article at the Super Site for Windows. But do it. Yeah.
Are you saying that is it different?
No, but I think
it might be somebody's taking it down.
It could be made private.
Yeah. Somebody doesn't want anybody
to
know.
I'm actually really surprised they gave this talk publicly. It is enough internal information that I'm actually kind of surprised. It's very.
Are you sure it was public? I'm not.
The talk? Well, yeah. It looks like they're at I think they're at some kind of designer show in there. I have no idea why they did. I think so.
I wondered if it was like for partners.
The YouTube channel, so this is somebody who pulled it from Vimeo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
posted on YouTube. It's not officially by Microsoft.
Right. So,
Mary Jo's point is well taken.
Go watch it.
Yeah,
now.
Watch it quick. I wrote up an article explaining what I feel are like the key bits in there, but I mean, there's a little nuance. They also, he just throws this out, that the guy who doesn't work for Microsoft is talking about remaking Office. And he says, we looked at Office and we said, look, this thing is platform agnostic. You don't have to have a PC to use Office. You can. It's mobile. It can run on Android. It can run on iOS. It's a little more multifaceted than Windows is. And, it's like, he just blows through that. It's like, wait a minute. They've never said anything about it running on Android or iOS. Now, we've talked about this. We kind of know it's coming. But this is basically a guy who worked on rebranding Microsoft admitting that there's going to be Office on Android and iOS. And so there's little things like that in there.
Yeah.
That are very interesting.
Yeah. And some new logos, but these are just what they were proposing, I guess.
Yeah. So some of these have obviously came to be, like the Office logo is the
that
Office
Bing logo.
Bing, that Bing logo has never occurred.
Yeah.
And the, I think there's another one that, let me see what happens here. But what they were trying to do was show how these things could be similar, that right. You could derive the different corporate logos from a similar design.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so some of the stuff may not happen. You know, some of it may just be different. But
so it's Albert Shum from the Windows Phone team and Todd Simmons, as you said, of the consultancy Wolf Olins.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Wow. Yep.
And they did all the Windows 8 marketing materials. I have a link in the article to a page on the Wolf Olins site that has all of the stuff they did for Windows. And that alone is actually very interesting, too.
Huh. Is there precedent for this? Is this new for Microsoft to do this, kind of go out and say, help us? Big companies do this all the time.
So, like I said, the only part of this that I have any kind of connection to is the Windows Phone stuff, because I feel like Microsoft has spent maybe a little too much time explaining itself on Metro. Like, it's the same talk over and over again. This is why this is good design. Not, here it is, and everyone goes ooh and ah, and they love it. Like, I almost feel like they feel the need to justify what they're doing. And I've not that other part where, we know that Microsoft redid their logo last year. We know that Microsoft recast itself as a devices and services company. We know that Windows has a new logo, that Windows 8 is Windows reimagined, and that, Metro is a design language that extends to a couple of their products, Xbox, Windows Phone, and somewhat to Office, I guess. This kind of pulls it all together. This shows you that this was a concentrated plan for the entire company. That this wasn't Sinofsky and Windows coming up with, we're going to reimagine Windows. This is, we're reimagining Microsoft. It's all of Microsoft.
Your software.
I have frozen.
You have frozen, but you've frozen in a very attractive, manly.
I look like Hitler. What happened?
Manly
there?
Fashion. He's waving his finger at us. Looks like you're about to give me a kiss.
I was going to let Mary Jo do the software pick.
All right, yeah, because it is kind of appropriate for Mary Jo.
I know. Yeah. I think it's my first time doing software pick of the week. So my software pick of the week is Untapped for Windows Phone 8. And the reason I'm doing it as my software pick is I get to be one of the secret beta testers of this. I've never gotten to be a beta tester because I'm not typically a reviewer, beta tester type person. But this app is almost identical to the versions of it on iOS and Android, people tell me. I don't know that for a fact myself. The other interesting thing is they did add one feature for us ahead of the other two platforms, and it's the not going to say reimagined. Okay, I'll say reimagined. Reimagined news feed on the app. So they made some changes to that. But it does everything that you couldn't do before on Umbeer, which is you can upload photos and do a lot of the things that we couldn't do before on this app. I've been using it for about a month plus, and it's working very well for me. You can check in beers. You can talk to your friends about the beers they're drinking. A bunch of the people at the Twit Brick House are my friends on Untapped, like
neat.
Liz and Iaz and Alex, all.
They're a bunch of drunks. I'm not surprised.
It's pretty fun. It's a fun app. You earn badges, et cetera, et cetera. Cool. So if you like beer, any kind of beer, and you have a Windows Phone, I would say go get this app. If you have Windows Phone 8, I should say, because it sounds sadly like Windows Phone 7.8 and 7 are not going to get this.
And it's free.
And it's free. I know. Even better.
Yeah. As long as you're with us, what about your enterprise pick of the week?
Yes. So this was a really interesting pick, and it's from one of our listeners, Josh Phillips. Thanks for the suggestion on this one. It's called EMET, which is the Enhanced Mitigation Experience Toolkit.
It's about
what a mouthful.
Time. Yes.
I know. So version 4 of this is out in public beta right now, and the final version is going to be out May 14th. So Microsoft's looking for feedback on this. And so what this is, EMET, is a utility that helps prevent memory corruption vulnerabilities in software from being successfully exploited in code. So it basically what it does is it makes all different kinds of software more resistant to exploitation, according to Microsoft, even against zero-day vulnerabilities. So that's pretty interesting. You can download it now from Microsoft's download site. It's available all there in the public. And they're looking for people to test it and give them feedback before they go live with this version 4. So get out there and test it if you are somebody who typically tests this kind of security software.
Cool. Yep. EMET4.
EMET. Emmet.
Emmet. It's not an emetic, but it is. Never mind. The code name pick of the week.
Yep. Codename pick of the week is Sydney, which is a really pretty old Microsoft codename. I looked it up. It goes back to 2009 or 2010, I believe. And it was originally going to be something called Windows Azure Connect when they announced it. They were going to make it available, the final release in 2010, and that never happened. So it just kind of stayed in beta. And then I noticed a couple weeks ago, or maybe even a week ago, Microsoft pulled the page for it and was like eliminating all the information for it. And I was like, uh-oh, something happened to Sydney. But what's actually happening is they're going to take some of the technologies that were part of it. What it does is allow you to connect machines to Azure. Originally was supposed to use IPv6 as one of the technologies underneath to do that. And now instead what they're doing is they're taking these Azure Connect technologies and folding some of them back into the enterprise networking that's on Azure, which is called Azure Virtual Networks. So Sydney is disappearing, but it's going to reappear in another form, basically part of something that's codenamed Brooklyn. So Sydney's going to Brooklyn.
That's fun. Of course. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah makes sense.
And this is a good beer to add to your Untapped.
Yes.
Our pick of the week.
Yeah. I had to do a color. We've been doing a lot of blue, so I said let's do pink this week.
Windows pink.
Yes. There really is a beer called Pink IPA, believe it or not.
It's not pink colored, is it?
It is pink. It's lightly tinged pink, but well, more like orange. And the reason it's pink, it's from a brewery called Almond 22 in Italy. But even though it's from Italy, it's pretty easy to find in bottles here in New York. I don't know if it's as easy to find everywhere else. But it's pink because they brewed it with pink peppercorns.
Oh, that's different.
I know. It gives it a little spicy edge, but it's very good. It's an American IPA with pink peppercorns brewed in, and it's got a pink label. It's slightly tinged pink. It's called the Pink IPA from Almond 22. It's actually one of the beers I checked in on Untappd.
Cool.
Yeah, you pretty cool beer. I've had it. I liked it. It was good beer.
That's a good way to make it pink.
Yep, it is.
I can accept the pink if it's peppery.
Yep.
Pink peppercorns. Not a tongue twister. Just checking. Thank you, Mary Jo Foley. Mary writes about Microsoft at allaboutmicrosoft.com, her ZDNet blog. Paul Thurrott has a site of his own called the Super...
Yes, I do.
Just like Virginia Woolf. It's a super site for Windows, winsupersite.com. And he's also the author of many, 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 many books, including WindowsPhoneBook.com, his Windows Phone Book, and the Windows 8 Secrets, which I have. And none of the secrets are secret anymore, thanks to you, Paul.
We don't like secrets.
I don't like secrets. No more secrets. We do the show every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time. It's either 1800. I've been confused about UTC now. 1800 or 1900 UTC. I think we're plus 8 now because of daylight saving. I don't know. Anyway, you could figure it out.
Huh.
World time. I'm just going to look. Let's see. We're going to see what time it is right now at UTC. It's almost 1 p.m. Pacific. And Greenwich Mean Time. No. Never mind. No. I don't understand. I went to timeanddate.com, and I don't understand it. Anyway, just tune in, all right? If you can't watch live or this is as confusing to you, it's okay. It's plus seven, minus seven, minus seven. So that means I add seven to our Pacific time, which means 1800 UTC. Thank you.
You're hurting my head.
I know. I know. 1800 UTC, or just, you know, if it hurts your head, just download it after the fact. We've got audio and video available.
That is hard, Leo.
Yeah, it is. Twit.tv/windows. Or subscribe in iTunes or in the Zune Marketplace or the Xbox Marketplace, and you'll get a copy that way, too. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next Thursday for Windows Weekly.